I want to join McConley in saying we're just delighted to have you in the services today. And as he mentioned, our services throughout the day, the 5 o'clock service, which has been changed from 6 to 5. Let's remember that this evening as we come back to worship God in spirit and in truth. He mentioned the fact that we will have a preacher here, young preacher here next Sunday. And I've been mentioning this, I guess, for the last month. Brother Frederick Gray, he's from Tampa, Florida. Yeah, he will be here next Sunday to speak at all of the services. And let's try to give him a good hearing. I'd like for every member of the church, if possible, to hear Brother Gray preach the gospel. We're considering and maybe using him in the work here. And therefore, we'd like as many as possible to hear him preach next Sunday. So tell your fellow brethren and others about Brother Gray and try to be present at that time. I want to speak for a while today on a subject I've never worded in this way. I call it three candidates for heaven. You know, we just finished an election here in Mississippi, and we had several candidates running for various offices. You know that. Saw these billboard advertisements, little cardboards all over town. These people were candidates. A candidate is someone who is seeking an office or a position. He hasn't gained it, but he'd like to have it. I know when I went into the booth to cast my vote, I noticed for governor there were two men. And, of course, you to punch the one you wanted. They were candidates at that time. Neither one of them had been selected as governor. But after the vote was counted, one of them was selected as governor, will be governor. But they were candidates seeking that which was out in the future. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that in the Bible we have some candidates here in Luke the 9th chapter who wanted to go to heaven because you can't go to heaven without following Jesus, and yet they failed the test. I think all three of them failed. You know, to go to heaven, it takes more than just the desire. They tell me that around 90% of the people in the United States of America believe there is a God and believe in heaven. Some of the people that believe in heaven don't believe in hell, by the way, in the survey. They believe in heaven but not hell. I guess they just don't want to believe in hell. But the same Bible that talks about heaven talks about hell. But they say around 90%. You've got around 10% of the people who fancy themselves as infidels or atheist, or modernist, free thinkers. They use various terminology. An atheist, ath, it means against, theos means God. An atheist is someone who is against God. And we have quite a few people in the United States who are against God. They fancy themselves as an atheist. It wouldn't do any good to talk to them about heaven because they don't believe in it. But I'm going to forget the 10% of atheists for the time being, and I'm going to talk about people who believe in God and who believe in heaven. And if you were to take a survey, take a pad and go around Boonville or any other place and say, I understand you believe in God and you believe there's a heaven, he'd say, yes, yeah, I do, I believe that. Then the next question you would ask him, do you want to go to heaven? I would say that 100% would say, well, yes. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. And I think everybody that purports to believe in heaven wants to go, but that's not the issue. Do they want to go badly enough? See, there's the rub. The next question would be, well, how badly do you want to go to heaven? Well, they'd say, what do you mean by that? Well, are you willing to do what the Bible says to get there? And they say, well, I don't know the Bible, but I want to go to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Yeah, they want to go to heaven. But are you willing, though, to do what the Bible says in order to go to heaven? Well, some of them say, well, I don't know what the Bible says. And probably a large percent of them may be telling the truth. They don't know what the Bible says about making it to heaven. But it does give an outline about how to get there. I'll guarantee you that. It's going to tell you, and it's the rule book, and It's the only thing we've got to go by in order to make it to heaven. Some people think that you don't have to do anything to go to heaven. I had one man to tell me that he believed when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for all of our sins, and we're all going to go to heaven. I said, you evidently haven't read your Bible. Well, he said, that's what I believe. I said, do you mean to tell me you believe you can go out here and lie and steal and commit adultery and violate everything the Bible says, and Jesus died for your sins and you're still going to heaven? He said, yeah, I believe that. I said, that's a shame and disgrace that you believe that, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But there are some folks who believe that. They believe that you're elected to salvation and that Jesus paid the price. That's one extreme. I think we have two extremes about going to heaven. One is it's too easy, such as that man. You do nothing. You don't have to do anything. Everybody's going to heaven. It's going to be glory by and by, just like some preachers preach everybody into heaven. Some preachers have never lost a case. They preached a lot of funerals, but as far as they're concerned, everybody's going to heaven. As one man says, they've never lost a case yet. I remember I was living in Oklahoma, and there's a man, he's a pretty wealthy man, had a lot of money, but he never did go to church, he never did profess anything, but I guess he did believe in heaven, and all because his youngest boy was driving into Tuttle, and he ran off of a bridge a mile east of Tuttle, and went off the bridge and killed himself in the car. I don't know whether he was drinking or not, some say he was, but he missed the bridge and killed himself. He's a young man. Well, it just broke this man's heart, and he said that he wanted to get a preacher that would preach him into heaven, which would give him comfort, he said. And he went to Oklahoma City, and he got this man, and he agreed to come down, and he did. He preached him into heaven, and it made Bill Traxler, his name was Bill Traxler, made Bill feel good. He said, it just makes me feel good to know that my boy has gone to heaven. Bunch of foolishness. It doesn't make any difference what a preacher says. That has absolutely nothing to do with you going to heaven. Everybody, if you take this survey, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. Everybody in Boonville would tell you they want to go to heaven. But the next question, are you willing to do what it says to get there? The other extreme is that you could work your way to heaven by meritorious works. That's not so either. That's the other extreme. But I want to tell you, brother, there's some things you have to do in order to make it to heaven. You better believe that. If not, why did Jesus, in Matthew 25, about that one talent man who hid his talent, he cast him into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Didn't sound like he went to heaven. The Lord said he didn't go to heaven. You don't go to heaven where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so I want to tell you, my friends, not everybody that talks about heaven is going there. But what I want to do today, I'm going to read you from the Bible three candidates who wanted to go to heaven, but they didn't meet the requirements. And it's going to come from the lips of Jesus, not from some man out here. The Bible's going to tell you about that in Luke, the 9th chapter. Permit me to begin reading here with verse 51. I think I'll start there because this will introduce it. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, this is the last trip Jesus will make into Jerusalem. He's going up there to be crucified, really. This is his final trip. And he's headed toward Jerusalem. And he's up in Galilee, and he's got to go through Samaria, and then he's Judea is where Jerusalem's located, the three basic countries. And so it says here, and he sent messengers before, this is verse 52, his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans wouldn't let him go through their country or through this village. And it made James and John very angry. Next verse. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? Well, back there in First Kings, or in Second Kings, we have a record of Elijah. And what happened, there was a war that was going on, and these people were sent out, I think 50 each time, and they're going to whip Elijah, and Elijah called fire down from heaven and killed two different groups, 100 men. Fire came down from heaven. God sent fire on them. And these boys, James and John, they knew their scripture. They knew that happened. They said, Lord, you want us to do that? Said they won't even let us go through their village. And the Lord says, but he turned to them and rebuked them and said, you know not what you ask, what spirit you are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He said, let's save them. Let's not destroy them. James and John said, I think we just ought to kill them. And I can understand that. These Samaritans, someone said, who were the Samaritans? Well, the Samaritans were half-breeds. When Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem in 606 and took the Jews into Babylonian captivity, he left some Jews there, and they mixed with the Gentiles, and from them came a group of people known as Samaritans. They were half-Jew and half-Gentile. But they wouldn't have anything to do with an Orthodox Jew. They're just like that. They had nothing to do with them. They didn't like one another. Their ethnic background, caused them to dislike one another, the Jews and the Gentiles. And so when Jesus was a Jew and he started through this village, he said, and they knew he was headed to Jerusalem. He said, you're not going through here. You're just going to have to go somewhere else. You're not going through here. Well, I can understand how the James and John would be infuriated about that. And their emotions got the best of them. And they said, Lord, let's just call fire down from heaven and destroy these people. The Lord says, you don't know what attitude you have or what spirit you have. He said, Son of Man's come into the world to save men's lives, not to destroy them. And so they went to another village, and evidently that village let them go through, I assume because they went to another village. But anyway, if you were headed up north and you'd be stopped up to the Mason-Dixon line and you're going to Chicago, and some boys would stop you there and say, where are you headed? Well, we're headed to Chicago. Well, where are you from? We're from down in Boonville, Mississippi. But you're not going through here. We don't allow any Southerners to come through here. Only Yankees go through here. Well, you wouldn't like that. And I understand that. They stopped you up there at the Mason-Dixon line and told you you couldn't get through. You'd probably have the spirit of James and John. Say, what's going on here? Just because you're from the South. You're down here from Boonville, Mississippi. They didn't want you going through, going up north. Well, I'm just using that as an illustration to show you that you'd probably be infuriated too. But now, after this happened, they got through. He headed on up, and listen to what took place now. Now we're going to get to our three candidates. One, two, three. And the first one I call the impulsive candidate. Candidate for what? A candidate for heaven. He wanted to go to heaven. He knew that he couldn't get to heaven except through Christ. And he is candidate number one. Now let's read what it says. And it came to pass, when they went their way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, why did Jesus say that? What connection was there with this man wanting to go to heaven or wanting to follow Jesus and birds having nests and foxes having holes, but the Son of Man, he's saying, friend, if you're following me because you think I have some nest unoccupied or I'm going to protect you and I'm going to give you a lot of stuff and it's going to be to your advantage, you might as well turn around now. Evidently, Jesus knew his heart. He's following for the wrong reason. Because he said, the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. You see, the motivation, this man could see the crown, but he couldn't see the cross. He wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't want to pay the price that was necessary to go. That goes right back to my question. How badly do you want to go to heaven? See, that's the issue. This man evidently was following Jesus, going to follow him, because he thought he would get something out of it. In other words, that Jesus would take care of him physically. Several years ago, a ragged man knocked on a preacher's door down in Texas. He had old clothes on. And the preacher opened the office door, and a man standing there, and he said, "Does this church give money to poor people and give them clothes and food?" And the preacher says, "Well, we do benevolence according to the teaching of the Bible. Yes, we do that." Well, he said, "I want to join this morning. I want to join this church." But why did he want to join that church? For what he could get out of it physically. That's the wrong motive for going to heaven. If you come into a church because of what you can get out of it physically or socially, you're not converted. You're just looking out after your flesh. And you don't have to be a Solomon to figure that out. So candidate number one failed because he was following Jesus and wanting to go to heaven for the wrong reason. You see. And that's why Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus fed people with loaves and fishes, and he had a big crowd. Matter of fact, he had over 5,000 one time. Big crowd. When he cut off the loaves and fishes, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more, because they were following him for the wrong reason. You know, you've got to have the right reason for following Jesus to make it to heaven. And that's to save your soul. It's a spiritual matter. It's not a physical matter. It's a spiritual matter. So candidate number one wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't want to pay the price. That's why I preached last week on the cost of discipleship. And this lesson connects with that. What it costs to be a Christian. It cost Paul his life. Jesus said, "Unless a man loves me more than father and mother and brother and sister and wife and husband and all of that, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So it costs you something to go to heaven. It does cost. There's no doubt about that. It cost the apostles, many of them, their lives. Polycarp was the first Christian martyr, and they say he lived about the same time John the apostle wrote the book of Revelation. And the government told him, when they had him arrested, if he would renounce Jesus, that they'd let him go. But said, "If you don't, we're going to burn you at the stake." Said, "You've got to say you don't believe in this man Jesus." He said, "I can't do it." He said, "96 years I've served him. I can't do it." And so they burned him. That's a pretty big price to pay, but he paid it. He said, "I'm not going to renounce Jesus." They said, "You either do it or else." And the time may come in this country. Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. The time may come in this country that you'll be put to a test. Believe me. Believe me, if enough atheists and agnostics and secularists take complete control of this country, they're liable to set up some rules that'll make it hard on a Christian. They're headed that way now. I hope they never make it. I hope they never make it. That's why elections are so important as to who you put in as president and senators and congressmen. Because that's going to govern to some extent your freedoms as a Christian. Because they make the rules. And they pass the laws. It's very important. Very important. Of course, we have a big election coming up next fall, as you know. Anyway, what I'm pointing out to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that candidate number one failed. And Jesus said unto them, about the foxes. Now let's read on. And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Pretty strong language, Lord. I don't know. I don't know whether I agree with you on that. Some folks would say, "I don't know whether I agree with you on that or not." Well, you better. Someone says, "Well, what did he mean?" Well, the man said, I want to bury my father. He said, "You let the dead bury the dead. There's something more important than the death of your father, and that's the kingdom of God." Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added to you." Several years ago down in Texas, a woman lost her husband. And he died on the weekend. I think he died on maybe Friday. And they got his body ready on Saturday. And back in those days, it was customary to bring the body into the home. Now, they don't do that much anymore. But there was a time when they always brought the body into the home, and then people would sit up all night with that body. Yeah, they did. They'd sit up with them all night, the body. They thought that was respectful, I guess. Well, this Sunday morning came around, and there's several people there sitting with her and her husband. The body was in the home, and she went in, and they noticed she was getting ready to go somewhere. They said, what are you doing? She said, well, it's Sunday morning, I'm going to church. They said, you can't do that. She said, yeah, I can. Well, that's disrespecting your husband. Said, it's not important to go to church. Your husband's dead. She says, my husband and I had an agreement. And I'm not disrespecting him. I'm respecting him. He told me to go to church if he passed away. Well, that ended the conversation, and she went to church. Someone said, well, preacher, I think, though, that that's more important. Well, listen to me. Listen to the Bible. Are you willing to pay the price? Here's a candidate for heaven. Here's a candidate that wants to go to heaven, and Jesus told him to let someone else bury his dad. He said, you go preach the kingdom of God. Someone said, well, does the Bible really say that? Read it. You say you love the Bible. You love the Word of God. You know what it means to be a Christian. You're a candidate for heaven, but are you willing to pay the price? Everybody wants to go to heaven that believes in it. But the problem, that's not the problem. The problem is not everybody that wants to go is willing to make the sacrifice necessary to get there. And that's what Jesus is teaching right here in this context. That's why I call it candidates for heaven. All right? Number three. And another said, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, that's pretty noble statement. He said, I'll follow you, Lord. But first, let me first go and bid farewell which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. Someone says, preacher, all he wanted to do is to go tell his kin folks goodbye. That's all he wanted to do. He said, I'll follow you, Lord, but I want to do this first. The Lord said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And evidently he did. He didn't realize the greatness of the kingdom of God. He didn't realize where you're to put spiritual matters in your life and how much superior they are to anything else that you want to do. You've got to rise above the materialistic, physical things and look at those spiritual things. And that's why Jesus is teaching discipleship. Oh, I know we want to tell people goodbye, and it's important to tell someone goodbye many times. But I want to tell you there's something more important than that, and it's the kingdom of God. It's the church of the living God. It is spiritual matters. And he said what happened is this man put his hand to the plow. He headed in the right direction. He headed toward heaven, and he really wanted to go there. But he didn't understand the price he'd have to pay. And all three of these candidates failed. Someone said, but they all wanted to go. Yeah? Every one of them, either Jesus told them to follow, or they voluntarily said, Lord, I'll follow you. I'm going to follow you. I want to go to heaven. But none of them understood the seriousness of it. That's the point. And there's a lot of members of the Church of the Lord that do not realize the seriousness of being a Christian. The church is put way down on their priority list. Even going to church is way down on their pride. They put a lot of things above going to church. Worshiping God in spirit and truth. And you, if you were to ask them, they'd say, well, that's number three on my priority. That's not number one in my life, going to church. That's for somebody else. That's why many times attendance in church is, as I read the other day in the paper, it's decreasing. Materialism. Failing to put the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33. Well, I'm going to close by asking you this question as we come to close. Do you want to go to heaven? Oh, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. I don't believe in that stuff. But I want to tell you something. If I were to, and people were honest, practically everyone here, I believe everyone here would raise their hand and say they won't go to heaven. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You'd say that. But that's not the issue. Are you willing to make the sacrifice to go to heaven? That is the issue. And that's the issue that Jesus is discussing here. Now, let me tell you something. In order to start on your way to heaven, you've got to obey the gospel by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Christ. Now, you have begun to follow Christ right there. And if you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I will guarantee you that you're going to make it to heaven. Not only are you going to be a candidate, you're going to win the election, so to speak. You're going to win the election because you're going to make it. So if you're here today and you're subject, I hope you'll get right with God. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?